So we've been speaking about what happens when you see a stolen object in the hands of a ganav. So the first thing we learned was you're not allowed to buy from him, because you'll be helping an ovei avera. If the ganavim don't have anyone to sell their stolen hot merchandise to, they'll stop stealing. So that we learned, it's a iser chomer. You're not supposed to buy something from a ganav. What happens if you do? So then we said, it depends when you bought it. If you made a mistake and you bought it before the owner was miyayesh, so it still belongs to the owner, it's his property that you have in your possession, you have to return it to him. And really, apiyikar adin, you would then go to the ganav who sold it to you and tell him it's a mekach tos and get your money back from him. Because of takonas hashuk, the chacham said, when you give the object back to the owner, he should pay you, and he'll do business with the ganav later. That's a takana the chacham made. We said if it was you bought it from a well-known robber, or according to the Rama, you knew the object was hot when you bought it. So in that case, you have to return it to the owner, and there is no takana sashuk. You have to go do business with the ganav and get your money back from him. That's what we said. If you got it before Yush, if the object is in your hands now and there has been yuyush of the owners, the owners have given up hope of ever recovering it, so that we said last week that if that yuyush occurred after it came into your possession, in other words, you had it for many years and now you find out that it was stolen, so mistama, the owners gave up hope, but they gave up hope after it was in your possession. So then we said, according to most poskim, the way they all poskim, is that if the yush came after it was in your possession, it doesn't help anything. And the same halachas apply. You have to give the object back to the owner. And depending whether it was ganav before him or not, you will get the money back from him or back from the ganav. In the more likely case where the object had been stolen and you bought it after the owner had given up hope, there was yush, and now you bought it from the ganav. He held on to it for a couple years before he sold it. And now you find out it belongs to another person. So there we learned that Yush and Shinoi Rishus makes a kinyan. That's the way we paskin. Yush alone doesn't make a kinyan. You need to have Yush and Shinoi Rishus. It's now in your possession. You own the object. There's no shaila that you don't have to give the object back to the owner. However, just like the ganav had to pay the owner for the object, when you buy that from him, you have to pay the owner also. So you can keep the car that you bought, but you have to pay the owner the value of that car. However, here also there's a takana sashuk that says you don't have to pay unless it was a ganav aforesim again. And you, once there was yush and shinoi rishus, you can keep the car. We said it could be that you might have to pay if you got a good deal on it, you could be you'll have to pay the extra to the owner in order for you to keep the car. But in general, if you didn't buy it from a ganav aforesim, you're allowed to keep the car and give him nothing, or maybe just the difference in money. But we concluded that's minig radin. But we concluded that there's a minig Yisrael, which seems to have started from a din of Machusa, that was a din of a secular law, but it became a minig Yisrael that even after Shinoi and Yush and Shinoi Rishus, it's in your possession and the owner gave up hope. In opposite order, he gave up hope and then it came into your possession. Where according to Din Torah, you should be able to keep the object and not even have to pay him Ikar Adin. However, well, it was the Takanas Ashok. But the Minig, the Ramah says, Shulchanoch Harav, Pasans like it, that the Minig is you give the object back to the object itself. You have to give the car, stolen car itself, back to the owner, and he'll compensate for you, since Ikar Adin, you're really allowed to keep the car. But the minhag is, if you ever have stolen property, even though me'ikar din, you should be able to keep that property, the minhag is to give it back. We saw different reasons. It could be like with Nimishur Sadin, like any aveda you get back after Yush, or it could be it's at the end of minhag Yisrael to do it. But that's the minhag, to give back stolen property, even after there had been Yush and Shinoi Rishus. That's just chazar of what we learned the last few weeks, which we're going to need for tonight's year, because tonight we're going to talk about what are your obligations when you see a stolen object at a flea market and you see that that's the bicycle of your neighbor. You could tell that it has you know, Naaman 6616 Shaul written all over it. You could tell it's stolen. And you see it by this person over there. What are your obligations? Or are you obligated to purchase it, to return it to the rightful owner? Can you just wash your hands of it? And the case we talked about, Schwitz talks about, is what happens if you bought it in order to return to the owner. You bought the bicycle because you want to be a good guy, and you're going to return it to the owner, and when you take it back to the owner, he says, I don't want it. You paid $50 for that bicycle, it's now worth $25, and in the meantime I bought another one. You know, I don't need that bicycle. And here you are, a nice guy. You're buying the bicycle to help your friend, and he says he doesn't want it. So can you force him to at least compensate you for the money that you spent on it? That's a nice shayla tonight. Yeah. The first thing I want to hand out is from the Mishpat HaAveda, right? That's that sefer we had on Hilchos HaAveda a few years ago. He brings from the Chavos Yoyer, Befeirush HaHalacha. He says, "Kesheyochel lignas hacheves me'agazlin, it is possible for you to buy object from a gazlin, ulhazir l'nigzal, and return it to the nigzal. Chayev lasis kein. You have to do that. It's a chiyuv of hashavas aveda, just like any other aveda. Because we learned that hashavas aveda doesn't only mean when a person lost an object, gets to pick it up and give it to him. Hashavas aveda includes if you see a person has a worker who is cheating him. So that's also hashavas aveda to tell him. You should know that you're losing money because this person, whenever he sells one case of batteries, he sticks another one underneath it and gives it to his friend. Right, on the truck. You know, it's a ma'aseh shaya. So that's hashavas aveda, to help a person from any loss. If you see that something's coming into there's a hole in his fence, and people are going to come in, and animals will come in and eat up his crops. So it's hashavas aveda for a karka to save it. So certainly, if an object is stolen and he doesn't have it now, so there's a mitzvah, hashavas aveda, to return that gzeila. That's the Chavos Yoyer says from in Siman Reish Tes. This mishpat aveda is the kasha, though. But what do you do with halacha that we learned a few weeks ago, that we started reviewing tonight, that you're not allowed to buy something from a ganav, because when you buy something from a ganav, you encourage him to steal more. So that this mishpat aveda answers, it must be that it's different when you're buying it to return it to its owner. That takana was only going to the stump, buy things for yourself. Then there's plenty of people around who will buy hot items if they're allowed to, because they're cheaper and might be better than what you could afford otherwise. So that will encourage gzeila. But if we're just allowing someone to buy something to return to its owner, that's not going to happen so often. If that happens each time, so then maybe people will stop stealing then also, because, you know, it ends up back in the owner's possession and he doesn't make so much money. I don't know. But that's what he says, that takona, that iser, doesn't apply to return an aveda. That we see, to return the gzela to the owner, that's what we see from the Chavos Yoyer. And we see such halacha, in the same halachas where we learned that you're not allowed to buy such an item from a hot item, the Rama over there says, Im Omer Halokeach, Lotovin is Kavanti. Right? If we said that over there, that if he bought it wrongly, and it was a ganim, of course, and he has to return it and he loses all the money, the Rama says, if the Lokeach, or the buyer, says, I meant for good, I meant to buy it, to return it to the owner. So he's neman, he's believed, it's tzarech l'hafzel ma'osav, and the owner will give him the money he paid for it, afil ganav meforsam, even though the ganav is a well-known ganav, he knew it was stolen property, but the buyer says, I meant it to help out the owner. He's believed to say that, and the owner can say, no, you were doing it for your own good. He's neman, l'kuli yama, that's a psak of the Ramah.
Who
returns
the money to?
What?
The neman.
The buyer is Neman. He has to return the object to the owner, and the owner has to give him the money. Because if he was buying it for his own good, so then if it's a ganav meforsam, he doesn't get his money back. He has to do money with the person that holds him. He has to do business with the person that sold him this hot merchandise. But over here, where he said, "I meant for your good," so that I'm allowed to, I give it back and I get the money back from you. Chayshoshim makes from the Nesivas that this is a din of a yored that we learned many years ago, if someone goes down to a field, his friend's field, and he fixes something that he's fixing, even though he went shelo b'rishus, the owner has to pay him for that hano that he got from it. So here also, you're doing a service, you're giving back an object that was stolen that you wouldn't have otherwise, so he has to pay you for that service and give you the money back. So that's pashut, that's nothing to talk about. The shaila now, though, is what happens when you buy something? Does it make a difference whether the owner has there's been yishnat or not yishnat yet? So that's a sugya in the Gemara. Let's see the Gemara in Kuf Yodalid in Bava Kamma before we see the Shulchan Aruch on that. The Mishnah says like this: Notlu listim as ksuso benoslu ksus acheres. If robbers stole his garment and gave him another garment in return, Harei Eila Shalo, he's allowed to keep that second garment. Then they shall buy them mitzayishim, because the assumption is that the owners of that garment who got stolen from the robbers, they had yush, and now it's in his possession. It's yush shinei rishus, or maybe the mandam holds yush alone works, but he's allowed to keep it. The Mishnah then says, Hamatzim in Hanor, if someone rescues things from a river, I mean a gayas, or from a troop of soldiers, I mean a listim, or from bandits, even if Yahshua Ba'ilim, if you know that the owners gave up hope on it, Hareyashalo, you're allowed to keep it. Right? So it's a stira between the Reisha and the Seifa. The beginning of the Mishnah said, if the robbers gave you someone else's garment, you could keep it, because we assume that the owners gave up hope. The end of the Mishnah says, if you save something from a listim, from a robber, from a bandit, you can keep it if you know they gave up hope. Because if you know they gave up hope, so there was yush, and now the shini rishus, you're allowed to keep it. So it's a stira. So the Gemara doesn't exactly deal with the stira, but the Gemara says something that will answer that stira, that will answer that contradiction. Amar Ravashi. Ravashi said, lo shonu, in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says in the beginning that you can assume that the owners gave up hope if the robber, if the listim gave you someone else's garment, lo shonu el listim over kechavim. That's only talking if the robber that gave you that garment and switched on you is an akum. Av el listim yisrael, but if it's a Jewish robber, then lo, you're not going to assume that the owner gave up hope. Because Sarah the Marchan Akina Levi didn't. So I saw the guy who's wearing a yarmulke who stole from me, so I'll take him to Dintar tomorrow and I'll get it back. So he's not Miyayish. That's how you can tell whether the person was Miyayish or not. So anyway, Ravashi is going on the Reisha, and the Rashi says that the Reisha where we assume he gave up hope is talking only about a Akum robber, but a Jewish robber, he knows he'll take him to the Dintar, he has no problems. Maskel Rav Yosef, or Yosef Yosef Kashit, things should be the opposite. Ad Rav, Ilcham Es Davro, it's to say the exact opposite. Because why? If it's a Akum robber, the Dini Din Kesel Miyayish. What happens if Akum steals from me? I'm going to call the police. And the police will take him to court, and the courts have the power to force him to give it back to me. But Yisrael, but what happens if a Jew steals from me? What do? I take him to a Din Torah. And Kaman D'Amri Meimar, what can a Din Torah do? A Din Torah just paskins that Reuven, you have to give it back to Shimon. But a Din Torah has no teeth. So, Miyayish, in that case, he's Miyayish. I'll take him to Din Torah and I'll tell you he has to give it back, and he won't, because they can't enforce things anymore. So, Rav Yosef says the opposite. If the robber was a Yisrael, so then we assume he's given up hope. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. But if he's an Akum, then the assumption is we can't assume that he gave up hope. And Rav Yosef continues, if there's a chilik between an Akum and a Yisrael, a Seif Edmar is going on the second half of the Mishnah. Because the second half of the Mishnah said, Amasa min ha-gayis that changes gear. So if someone takes it from the gayis, from the troop of robbers, umin alisim, or from a bandit, in its yayishavan, if you know the owners have given up hope, in that's when you're allowed to keep it, stam alo, but if just assuming they gave up hope, you can't keep it, because we don't assume they gave up hope. So that Rav Ashi said, Lo shonu elo v'kechavim. When do we assume, when can we not assume that they're given up hope? That's by an akum. Mishum didayin v'geisi. There the courts can force him to keep the law. And that's why the owner who got it stolen from the akum cannot be presumed to have given up hope, because he knows he'll call the police and take him to court and get it. avodistim Yisrael. But if it was a Jewish robber, came and darmi meimar, since in the Torah they could just say the psak, but they can't enforce it, miyayish, he will have despair. So the Gemara's maskana at this point is that by a listim Yisrael, a person generally gives up hope of ever finding his, recovering his object. If it's a listim akum, so then he does not give up hope. He still hopes that he will get it. Now the Gemara next makes a chilek between a gazlan and a ganav. Once again, a gazlan is someone who steals in broad daylight. A ganav is someone who sneaks in the house at night and steals that way. The Gemara has a shaila about tuma and taira. If someone a piece of leather doesn't become tame unless the owner of it has plans on using it as a keli, then that makes it into the machshava, makes it into something that is useful, and then it could be makabel tuma, and that only works if you own it. So the Gemara says like this, Mishnah in Kalim. So gazlan ein machshava metamasan. If it's a gazlan, someone who stole openly, his thoughts won't make them tame because there has not been yiyush yet. Vishal ganov. But if it's from a ganov, they're machshavim et hamasan. In that case, we can assume that the owner has given him a hope of recovering it. And if the ganov has in mind to use it for something, it'll become tame at that point. What's its chilek? Because the gazlan, he saw who stole from him, so we'll go and get a lineup and figure out who it is and maybe recover his item. So there, he wouldn't assume he's given up hope. But if someone stole something in the middle of the night from his house, he has no idea who it is, it's dark outside, no one, there's probably no witnesses, there we assume he's given up hope. That's what the Tanakhama says. Rav Shimon says the opposite. Chilef Adroyim, Shal Gazlan, Machshav Metamasan. By a gazlan, if he was able to steal that right in the open, there's no way you're ever going to get it back. He's not afraid of anything. He just took it from you broad daylight. It's gone. Then you have given him a pope. Shal Ganov, a Machshav Metamasan, Ganov, then Machshav isn't Metana yet. Levishal and Siyai shall buy him, because in that case, the owners have not given him a pope, because, well, find the Ganov. He's not such a powerful person. He's sneaky. We'll find him. Well, we have our own ways. Then the Gemara goes to Machlok, Amarullah, he says, Machlok is talking about Stam, Abiyadua, if we know that he's had Yush and Diriyah called Yush Kani. Now, these Gemara, how do you fit these two Gemaras together? The way the Tur, quoting the Rosh, puts these two Gemaras together, he says like this. The first section of the Gemara talking about a listim, that's talking about a gazlan. When we made a difference between a Yisrael and an Akum, whether the owner gives up hope or not, whether it's Stam Yush, whether it's Stam Geneva, he's given up hope, that's talking about by a gazlan, where you saw who the robber was, so if you see that it was a Jewish robber, you give up hope. If you see it's an Akum robber, you hope to get it back because you'll call the police and the courts will get it from him. But if it's a ganov, then it doesn't make a difference whether, like Ulas Paskins, like the Chachamim, it doesn't make a difference whether he's an Akum or a Yisrael. By a ganov, the person always gives up hope. But that's the way the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Simen Shin Samaches Sif Aleph, based on this Tur and Rosh Hamatzil Miyad. Actually, we'll see, the Ramah is the one that adds that. The Shulchan Aruch says, Hamatzil Miyad Listim Yisrael, someone saves something from a Jewish robber, Harei Eilu Shalo, you can keep him, and they should stam Adavish, and it's Yai Shalabayim, since it's a Yisrael, a Jewish robber, like we said, the assumption is that he's given up hope. Vimyad Shalinis Yai Shal, but if you know that he hasn't given up hope, then Chai Vlasi, you have to return, it still belongs to the owner. But if it was an Akum who had robbed him, then you have to return it to Stam Hadolar, Shalinis Yai Shaban. The assumption is he hasn't given up hope. And if he did give up hope, if you know he gave up hope, then Harei Yeshalo. And now the Ramah adds, Ustam Geneva Haviyush. If it's a Geneva, not a gazela, he stole in the middle of the night, so then it's always Yish Afil of Akum, even though it was an Akum. And based on that, getting back to our shayla, v'im kein hakonim en haganov. If someone acquires something from haganov, lo hoya tzarech lahachzer haganeva, you wouldn't have to return it. Ella, because why? Because the assumption is the owner gave up hope. Now you bought it, in other words, he gave up hope already. And now you bought it from the ganav, there's shino yoshos, so there's yiyush first, and then there's shino yoshos, so you should be able to keep it. Elim ken yadin, and unless you know, he didn't have yiyush yet, he didn't know it was stolen, or he still, like we said, he still has the police looking for his car, so then you wouldn't be able to keep it. Right? If the stam is that there's been yiyush, and now you acquired it with yiyush and shino yoshos. Miunagu lahachzir kol ganeiva, but the minig is, the same minig we saw last week in Simen Shin Nun Vav, is quote, the Ramah quotes again here in Shin Samaches, the minig is to return every ganeiva, even though there's been yush and shinu rishos, and really it'd only be an issue of giving him back the extra money maybe, and if it was a ganav before him, giving him the whole money, but you'd be able to keep the object. The minig is to give the object back, ve'ein l'shanes min haminig, don't change this minig, like we said before in Simen Shin Nun Vav. In all cases, you return the object to the owner, he gives you the money, nearly, that's what the Ramah paskins, that by any geneva, by any gzela, the minig is to keep it. The minig is to give it back, and you get the money. Now, in this psak of stam geneva, I have the shach disagrees with the Torah and the Rosh, or the Torah's understanding of the Rosh, because the whole thing was based on understanding that the word listim in the Gemara is a gazlan. The shach brings it's a long shach, it brings a lot of rayas, that listim is actually a ganav. And the Gemara has clearly said that by a ganav, there is a difference between a Yisrael and an Akum, and then we have to go back to realizing who the person you're dealing with is. Is he Akum? So then you can't assume that there's been yiyush yet, and if you bought it, you have to give the object back, the object of the back maker, a din. That's what the shach says. Pitzchei Choshen brings a lot of later tshuvas. He brings some Narav Yehuda, Idarach HaShulchan, and he says the truth is, Bizmanis, it all depends on the circumstances. You have to see each generation has to know what the circumstances are, I guess what police departments are like, what people are like. Do you assume the person gave a pulp or not depends on circumstances, whether it was broad daylight or not broad daylight, whether it was Yisrael, whether the courts are really that good nowadays. I'm not sure if you would trust the secular courts to get your objects back, and whether the din Torahs are really that bad. Could be they're not so bad nowadays. You don't know. So each generation depends on the circumstances. But we always talk to the Chachila, and anyway, their minig is to give the object back under all circumstances, and you get your money back. That's the way it should work. Once again, we're talking about a case now. What happens if he doesn't want to take it? Right? But before we get there, what is our obligation? Our obligation when we find a stolen object, we have an obligation to return it to its owner. That's number one. There's it's his object, and you have to return it to him, assuming that there's no yiyush. If there's already been yiyush, and shino yivashos will be certainly if it's not by the god of himself, it's by another person. Right? We'll see in a second. So then there's no such obligation to return it. Well, that we'll see in a second. But suppose there has already been yiyush, and now you bought it. So then we go back to last week's shir. Except this week, we learned that we can assume that by a ganav there has, if by a ganav here has been yush, and mi'ikra din, you should be able to keep it, except the minig is to return it and get your money back. Now, that's what we were saying until now. Now, what happens to the case of tonight? You went and you bought it from the ganav. You bought the object from the ganav. We'll talk about the different possibilities. You bought an object from the ganav in order to return it to the owner. That's what you wanted to do. You bought it to return it to the owner, and now you take it to the owner, and he says, I don't want it. So the Mishpat Torah has three different rules over here. I have them on the handout. The first one, he says like this, that, okay, you bought it. Now, what are we talking about here? What's the halacha me'ikra adin? So he says we have to pass on like the Chachamim who hold that Stam Geneva is Yush Vailim. He holds like the Ramaz Psak that Stam, when you bought, right, the owner says, you know, I don't want it back. So we assume that he has given up hope of recovering when it got stolen. So now who owns it? The first case we'll talk about is if he's buying it at the flea market. Right, the flea market guy probably didn't steal it himself. He just gets things from different places, and you know, people give him different merchandise, and he goes and sells it wherever he gets all the merchandise from. He's not a thief. Let's assume he's not a thief. He got it from other people. So when he got this object, there's already been Yiyush, because Stam kind of there's Yiyush Vaylim. Stam gave Yiyush Vaylim. And now he has it in his hands, this flea market person. So there's been Shinoi Rishos. Who does this object belong to? It doesn't belong to this object, this bicycle that you're buying, doesn't belong to the owner anymore, because he's given up hope for it. That's the assumption. And there's been Shinoi Rishos, the owner of the flea market, now owns it because he bought it from the Ganav. So it's not his anymore. So now you're going to buy it. You're buying it for Reuven. You're trying to buy it. Reuven's trying to buy it for Shimon. You don't really, in this case, there's no mitzvah to return it, because that mitzvah that we said, there's a mitzvah to return a stolen object, just like there's a mitzvah to return an Aveda. That's only if it still belongs to the person. You're returning his property to him. Then that's a mitzvah to do that. But over here, this bicycle doesn't belong to the original owner anymore. He's lost it through his yush, which we assume he's been miyayish. He's given up hope of finding it. And it's turned hands from the ganav into someone else's hands. It now belongs to that person. So you're doing a big mitzvah, taking this person's bicycle and giving it to Shimon. You didn't do any, that's no mitzvah. You're not mechuya to do that. So once you don't have to do it, the person could say, look, you overpaid. I already bought another bicycle in the meantime. I used my insurance, or I bought another bicycle, and you spent $50 for this old bicycle. I don't want it. You know, it's you have to keep it. Right? That's a simple psak. Are you going to say that we have a minig? The Rama says there's a minig based on the Truma Sadeshin, that in all cases, the minig is that even after Yush and Shinoi Rishos, you take the stolen object and it goes back to the owner, like we learned last week and like we saw tonight again, that the minig is you give back any object to the owner, but that's only if the owner wants it. Right? That's a takana for the owner. If the owner says, I don't want it, so you can say, look, I don't want it. Yeshi the takana tzachamim. I don't want that takana. The takana is for my good in cases where I want the object back. So there's a nice takana that I could get my object, sentimental value, whatever I wanted, and I could get it back. But over here, you overpay for it. I don't need it. It's been years. It's rusty. And I don't want it. I don't want that takana. You can't force me to pay for something that's not mine. It's not mine anymore. That's the first halacha he says. That if you're buying it from, not the ganav, you're buying it from the flea market person, the person who bought it from the ganav. So the flea market person owns it right now. It's his bicycle. There's no mitzvah for you to buy it, and if you bought it, the original owner has no obligation to take it from you. You could say, I don't want that takanas chachamim, nigger din. Certainly, he doesn't have to take it, it's not his anymore, he doesn't have to, you can't force me to buy a bicycle, that's not mine. I might have once owned it, but it's not mine now. I suppose your neighbor, suppose Shimon had sold it to Levi, and then Levi got it stolen. You know, you can't buy it from this person and then go back to Shimon and say, look, this is your bicycle. Oh, look, I stole it. It's not mine anymore. It's the same thing. It's not mine. It was Yush and Shinoi Rishos. It's not mine. You can't force me to take it. That's halacha number one. Now, what happens, though, if you did buy it from the ganav? You could tell it's the ganav, and you're trying to do a favor. You see, he looks like the description of what Shimon said that the ganav looked like. And you bought it from the ganav. So now what happens? Even though there's been yush, even though we assume there's been yush, stam, zel is yush, but the ganav is still holding on to it, the bicycle still belongs to Shimon. Right? Shimon gave up hope of ever recovering it. But there's been no Shinoi Rishos at this point, right? We're talking, what should you do now? You see the bicycle in the ganav's hands. That bicycle still belongs to Shimon. Right? It still belongs to him, because even though there's been yush, there's no Shinoi Rishos. So in that case, I have a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. This bicycle belongs to Shimon. I'm going to return it to Shimon. I'm going to buy it for its value and give it to Shimon, and that's the din of any hashavas aveda. If you spend money to return someone's aveda, he has to pay you for whatever your expenses are. If the expenses are worth more than aveda, then it's not hashavas aveda anymore, because he could say, look, you know, I'd rather, you know, you didn't do me any favor spending $1,000 on something that's only worth $100. But if he paid the good market price for it, so you're returning his aveda, even though he's given up help, but there's been no shinoi v'shus, it's still his, and you're taking his object and returning it to him. It costs you $100 to return the bicycle. As long as the bicycle is worth that much, he has to give it to you. Suppose he bought another bicycle in the meantime. Okay, so he'll sell this one, but it's still his property, and you're returning his property. It's clearly his property. He still belongs to him, and therefore you have to, he has to pay you for it. So that's the second halacha. The third halacha is when you didn't have those good intentions. You bought it, let's say it's from the God of himself, you bought it to keep it for yourself. Now, if you bought it to keep it for yourself, at that point, there's Yish and Shinei Rishos. Right? The previous case, where you bought it in order to return to the owner, so all there has been is Yish. Even though, even when he sells you that object, now you have it. But it hasn't been Shinei Rishos, you just have Shomer Aveda for Shimon. It still belongs to Shimon, even though in both cases there was Yush in the Ghana's hands and now it's in your house. But in the previous case, which was the second case that he said, it still belongs to Shimon. You're just a Shomer Aveda to return it to him. And therefore he has to pay you whatever your expenses were when you give it back to him. He has to take and give it back to you. But in this third case where you were planning on keeping it, so now, even if you didn't realize it was a gone, if you didn't realize it was stolen yet, then we go back to the cases we spoke about in the past weeks. So now, there was Yush in the hands of the gone. He sold it to you, and you were planning on keeping it, so that's called Shinoi Rishos. At that point, Shimon no longer owns the bicycle anymore. At that point, we go back to the halachas we learned last week, that Me'ikra Din is now your bicycle. If you didn't know it was a gone, you certainly don't owe him anything. According to the Mishnah, you don't have to pay him a penny. According to the others, it could be that you have to give him whatever the difference is, maybe. But Takana Shuk, you're allowed it. According to the Ramah, Takana Shuk, you could keep it. And just the difference, according to the Ramah, you don't have to pay him anything. It's your object right now. It just might be a shayla of money, right? So you're now taking it, this week's case, and you want to say, look, here's your bicycle. I just found out it was stolen from you. Take it, and I want you to give me the money for it. Right, so what's halacha in that case? I want you to take the object. We said that minig is that he could. The minig is if he wants it, you have to give it back. Right, and the minig. How about now, where he doesn't want it? Right, you're taking it back. You're trying to do good, and he says, "Oh, I feel so terrible. It's your bicycle. Here it is. Give me the $100." So that'll be the same halacha as the first case, because once I own it through Yush in the Ghana's house, when it was in the Ghana's house, and now it's in my house when I was planning on keeping it, that made a Shinoi Rishos. So now it's no longer Shimon's object. There are different obligations that I have to maybe give him the money, the extra money, maybe no money, and as a minig I have to give him the bicycle if he wants it. But if he doesn't want it, it's not his. Once again, it's no longer Shabbos Aveda, where he has to take it, and he could say, look, I don't want it. And that would be the third case, like it would be the same as in the first case. Where
in the beginning we said that he believed that the one who buys it, I forget now what it was about.
The buyer is believed to say that he meant it for his good. But we're saying, we're trusting everyone. In this third case, he's saying, I didn't buy it for his good. He's honest. I bought it for my good. I didn't realize it was stolen. I was at a flea market, and I see a bicycle, and I bought it. Now I see that it belongs to you. I see that you now put two and two together. You think it was stolen, and you told me about them. I tell you, a bicycle. So, I bought it. I just was at a flea market. I bought it from there. He looks just like the guy that, in the description of the guy that you said looked like it, and that you stole it. Oh, here it is. And he says, look, I don't want it. I'm glad it got stolen. In the meantime, I got another one. I'm glad I don't want it. So, I already paid for another one. So in that case, you can't force him to take it back because there's been years since he never shows. So let's just chazer these three cases from the Mishpatei HaTorah. So once again, we're talking the opposite. You want to give it back to the owner, to the original owner, and he doesn't want to take it. But you want to do good. You want to give it back to the owner, and he doesn't want to take it. So the three halachas are like this. If you bought it not from the ganav himself, you bought it from the person he sold it to, you bought it at a flea market from someone who bought from the ganav without realizing, or realizing it doesn't make a difference. Well, maybe it'd be a shliach, but he bought it from the ganav, he doesn't know. So in that case, you bought it in order to return to the owner, you wanted to be a good person, but lemaisis, if you didn't learn the halacha properly, you realize there's no mitzvah for you to do it, because there's been years since Shinya Rishos, the bicycle no longer belongs to Shimon, if you want to really be good. So that's where you could use your cell phone and call him and say, look, I saw your bicycle, you want me to buy it, you know, it's over here. But if you haven't heard anything from him, you don't have a mitzvah, hashavas aveda, it's not his anymore, and if you went and got it anyway, he doesn't have to take it, and there's no takana to force him to take. The takana is that he could force you to give it to him. If you just want to give him money, he can say, the minig is that you have to give me the bicycle. But where he doesn't want it, he certainly doesn't have to take it, and you're stuck with it. You bought it, you know, so you bought it. You tried to do a little mitzvah, so, you know, it didn't work out. You'll get schar for your machshava tova. The second case is where you bought it from the ganav in order to return to the owner. So in this case, the object still belongs to the owner, because even though there's been use, even though we assume he gives up hope of recovering it, but it's still in the hands of the ganav. This bin Shinoi Veshos, this bicycle still belongs to Shimon. And when you buy it from the ganav in order to return to Shimon, you're doing Hashavas Aveda, like all the dinim of Hashavas Aveda, and if you return someone's Aveda, you can say, I don't want it, then you just lost your money. And it's your money, I'm returning it to you, it cost me, as long as I didn't overpay, didn't pay more than the thing's worth, you have to pay me the value of what I returned your Aveda. In that case, certainly, you can force him to take it, and he will have to pay you whatever you pay for it, once again, assuming you paid a good price for it. However, even in that case, if you weren't doing it for his good, you were doing it for your good, you were planning on keeping it without realizing that it was stolen. So in that case, it's no longer his property again, because now there's been use and it came into your possession. In the previous case, even though you're holding it in your house, but you're holding it for him, it's still his. You're just being a Shomer Aveda. In this case, where you bought it for your own good, in this case, it's now your bicycle. Now, can you force him to take it back? No, because he could say, look, it's Yisus, I don't want it anymore. If he wants it back, so then he can certainly force you to give it to him, and he'll pay you the difference, or maybe nothing at all, depending on the last week's share. But if he doesn't want it back, once again, it's just like the first case, you can't force him to take it, because it's no longer his, it's been used. And Shinya Rishos, only this case, the Shinya Rishos is when you bought it, not knowing that it was stolen. Now it's your bicycle, you can't force him to take it back. And that's the way Mishpat Torah comes out with these halachas.